to JFK, and then I got on a 13-hour and 40-minute flight from JFK to Doha, Qatar, and then from Doha, Qatar, a 3-hour and 40-minute flight to Tbilisi, Georgia. Got there on Tuesday night. They are 8 hours ahead there. And then we spent until Saturday afternoon. So the church that I went to has a Saturday afternoon or Saturday morning service because they rent a church. And then after we got done speaking at that church, we got in a van that transported us, which you all would have loved to have been in. These guys think they're in the NASCAR the way they drive. I mean, it's crazy. I was even like, whoa, this is incredible. My wife, she would have jumped out. She would have never ridden in that van. It took like almost 7 hours up through the mountains, winding on the edge of roads to drive to Yerevan, Armenia. We had to go through customs from Georgia into Armenia, pull all of our luggage off the van, put it through things, go through customs, and it was pretty interesting. So I'll take a couple minutes. I'll show you a few pictures. I'll tell you where they're at. This is Neravik, and I think I have that name right. This is one of the highest points in Armenia, and standing there next to me is Helen Todd, World Missions Alliance. The lady to her right, the redheaded lady, the shorter lady, is her name is Melinda. She's from Pastor Lou Perez's church in Niagara Falls. A powerful testimony. And then on the other end is a Dr. Glenn. He's from Austin, Texas, that came with us and did a clinic the whole time. You can change that. That's another picture of that site. It was really incredible. That is Mount Ararat. This is in Genesis, I want to say it's chapter 8, where the Noah's Ark landed, and historically is still on that mountain. Turkey actually invaded Armenia and took over that part of land, and so they won't let anybody up there. They wanted that land for whatever reason. You can change the slide. So while we're in Armenia, we went to this restaurant one night and had a typical Armenian meal. And the owner of the restaurant came over. We were at a long table and said, tomorrow night there will be an Armenian wedding ceremony here, and we'd love it if all of you came to it to be a part of it. I didn't get it. Why would they invite us? I'm thinking, okay, this is just strange to me. We got there. This man is the man who had, this is really wild. He's from Moscow, he and his wife. He had lived together with his wife and had two children for 11 years. They went to Israel, and they became so convicted that they wanted to get married, and they wanted to get married in Armenia because one of them has Armenian roots. So they came, they picked this restaurant. Helen got an Armenian Bible to give to them while we were there, and our translator got a bouquet of flowers and gave them to me to give to them. So there's just the wedding party at this table. There's this group that are playing Armenian music. It's really crazy. We take it up there. They begin to cry. And I said to the interpreter, would you ask them if I can pray for them? I don't think I put that up there. And they said, please, would you? I begin to pray for them. The lady starts crying that just they got married. I thought I was going to do another wedding ceremony right there in Armenia. But it was the crazy. So this is the man who got married. He's a Russian businessman from Moscow. It is the craziest story. And I know even when I'm telling you that story, you're like, huh? Because that's the way I still am. Go ahead. Go to the next picture. This is a place right next to the church that we went to in Armenia. Go ahead to the next one. I think it's going to show the church. Okay, there's the church, little lady that's doing the interpreting for me. Ripsy, her name is. Go ahead and change it again. These are two pastors. The one on the left is Pastor... the one on the right is Pastor Boris. The one on the left is Pastor... I just forgot his name. Anyways, he's from Georgia. So here's the story on this. I go in there, and I spoke every day, sometimes twice a day, when I was there. I walk into the man on the left's church in Tbilisi, and I start preaching, and the Lord just draws me to him. And the Lord just begins to speak to me that he and his wife are just struggling. And so I called him over, and I begin to pray for him. And I begin to pray for he and his wife. And he felt a little uncomfortable. And I got done praying for them. And he's weeping. His wife is weeping. And I said, you know what? I feel the Lord wants us to do something. And we're going to send you some money so that you and your wife can go away on a little getaway somewhere, just the two of you. His wife is bawling. I mean, she's crying. And I said to the interpreter, what's wrong? They've been married 16 years, and they never had been away, not even on a honeymoon, ever together. And the Lord blessed them with that while we were there. Go ahead to the next. That's Pastor Boris. That's his office and his desk. It's a lot cleaner than mine. Go ahead to the next one. There's the church that we went to in Armenia. Out in the hill country, the city of Yerevan is beautiful. Go outside the city 10 minutes, and that's what it looks like right there. Go ahead to the next one. On the way, see the cattle? They're everywhere. I'm like, I saw steaks. I saw hamburgers. I saw all kinds of stuff. Go ahead to the next one. That's me. I'm preaching there in Armenia. Or no, that's in Tbilisi again. That's Tanya. She is a interpreter for the language Georgian, which is Russian. Armenia is Armenian language. Go ahead, next one. That's a picture from top of the city in Tbilisi. Next one. That's the pastor and his wife that I'm praying for right there. Just one of the most beautiful moments. And I almost think that I may have gone just for that right there. I don't know that yet, but that was a huge reason. This guy, we met him. I saw that, and I said to the interpreter, ask him if he'll let me get my picture with him. And so she went over there, and he looked a little funny. The guy's got arms on him. He used to be a boxer. And I don't know. I thought if I was going to get in a rumble with him, I'd grab them on him. But anyways, I just thought that was so unique that I had to get my picture taken with him. Go ahead on another one. Is that the video? Go ahead. Go back to the last one. There it is. Beautiful. Go to the next one, Benny. Okay, this was a spot that we stopped every day on the way to church. You got to see this. Turn it up a little bit, Benny, too, okay? Go ahead. That's bread. That's an oven. He puts it on that thing, and then he just slams it up against that wall in that oven. Now let me tell you, that bread caused me to stumble. Seriously. Can you believe that? It was the most incredible thing I'd ever saw, but it was even more incredible to eat that bread. And I ate that bread. Go ahead, Betty. I just had to put that in there. I think this is another video, is it? This is the worship at the church that we were at. Go ahead. They love the Lord. I have no idea what they were singing, though. Isn't that interesting? Go ahead to the next one, Benny. This is another video. This is funny, too. Go ahead. Can you find it? Almost got hit. Pastor Rizzo, that's his name. He pointed out to me, you could barely see it, that the Russian army was about, I don't know, about a quarter, half mile from where the church was. I said, what are they doing there? And he said they came to make sure that Turkey doesn't invade and take any more of the land because Armenia used to be a part of the Soviet Union. Am I right on this, Elena? Am I getting things right here? I was shocked to see that over there, and I said, can we go visit them? And they said, no, you don't want to go near them because the Russians, the government doesn't even feed them, and they're out there, and if they're hungry, they'll take from you anything they can get from you. Crazy. Is that another video? I couldn't get enough of the bread. Go ahead, Betty. This is how they take it out. I wanted to take that and make a sandwich out of it. I am mesmerized by that. Could somebody please do that around here? One more time. You can tell that I'm just like, this is so amazing to watch them do this. They put this, Bruce, could you make that bread like that? You could do that. Ron, you make the thing, the oven, and then Bruce will make the bread. Now watch him. If I did that, I'd fall right in there and laugh, and you would too. I know you would. Go ahead, Betty, hit another one. I think that's a video too. So the man on the left is Armenian. The man on the far right, Pastor Rizzo, is Georgian. So she's interpreting two different languages there. Go ahead, Betty, hit that. Stop it, Benny, just a minute. I wanted to put that up there to see the level of diversity that we get so completely comfortable in our lives with. And if you see what is happening right there, these people, they're proclaiming the gospel out in the middle of a cow pasture, loving Jesus with everything in their heart. And there's no air conditioning. They ain't no fans, there's no drums, there's no nothing but a love for God. I really want you to hear that. I really want you to see it. Just go ahead and move it to the next one, Benny, to the next slide. And that's what I came home to. That's it right there. All right? Amen. Oh, and there's the bread that I talked about on Sunday. That's the bread. Is there any more? Oh, yeah, there are more cattle. Go ahead. Click it again. Okay, this is what I want to tell you. And I just want to take just a couple minutes because I pondered this and I thought about this and why go. And I know that not everybody is going to be able to pack up their clothes and not everybody's going to become career missionaries. But I truly believe, and I can't wait to get into my next pastor's meeting, there is a benefit for you and I to come out of the culture and the comfortability that we're used to and go somewhere else. Number one, you will encounter the heart of God when you go. Our God is big, and he not only cares about what's going on right here now, but he cares about the nations. And I'm telling you, when you get up in the plane and you're going across the world, and you get to look out the window, you all of a sudden find out that whatever it is that you're dealing with, not that it's not important, but that God is bigger because he created the heavens and the earth. And if he's big enough to create the heavens and the earth, he's big enough to take care of everything that you and I have to deal with in our lives. I love this verse in Revelation 5:9. It says, and they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll, open its seals, for you were slain, have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, every tongue, every people, and every nation. You will encounter the heart of God. Number two, you will expand your limited perspective. Listen, we get stuck in a spiritual rut. And I'm not talking about just you. I'm talking about me as a pastor. I had felt years ago that God wanted me not to get stuck in a rut. Every time I go, God stretches me. He allows me to see how other people and other cultures worship and honor God. And every time I come home, I want to give more and I want to get rid of stuff that I think is important that has no bearing on my life at all. Nothing. And God wants our heart to be that way. To be bigger. And sometimes we get so bogged down with the things that we think we need and we're completely missing or forgetting who and what God has called us to be. Which leads me to the next point. When you go, you become more grateful. When you go, you get an attitude adjustment every single time. Especially when I'm with people who have nothing. The gal that was in the last, some of the last frames that was interpreting between the two pastors, her name is Ripsy, Ripsey. She, what a precious young lady. Been to school for years, very highly educated, I think speaks four or five languages. And I said to her, have you ever been to America? No, they wouldn't let me come to America unless I owned land or something here so they know that I'll come back. And then she's telling me about how she lives and lives with her family, and her brother's married and his family, and they all live together. And I'm thinking, and they're grateful and they're thankful. And then I think, if we've got to wait for something a little longer, or if just something little happens to us, we forget about the blessing of running water. We forget about the blessing of food, no matter what kind of food. I'm telling you, when I come home from a missions trip, I'm happy to eat just anything. If Patty slices up a banana, I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus, for it right now. It helps us put our problems in a better perspective. Number four, you discover a whole much bigger spiritual family. And even the people that I went with, this doctor that came with us, didn't see him much in the first few days because we had a clinic and he was busy in there. And I felt the Lord one day just speak to me that God was looking at him like he looked at Abraham and was taking his service and accounting it to him as righteous. I didn't know what that meant, but I've done this long enough. I just stepped out. So I'm preaching, and I said, Glenn, I said, I just felt to tell you, I saw you today like Abraham, that because of your faith, he'd never been on a mission trip. He'd never done this before. He was way out of his comfort zone, left his practice and everything. I said that the Lord's going to use this, your service, your devotion to him, and I see him like putting what you're doing in a bank account, and then the Lord just dropped this in me. I see something that's going on in your family at home, and God's going to turn it around, and he's going to make it right. The guy's stone face, you know, doctor. He just like, who's this? What's this guy saying? I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, okay, I just blew that. I missed that. He comes up to me the next day, not that night. Couldn't have told me that night. He comes up to me the next day. He said, I know what God was speaking through you. He said, I've been disconnected from my children for nearly a year. I haven't talked. I have grandkids. They won't let me see them. And his tears are running down his face. I said, bro, I'm going to pray. God's going to bring that together. I'm not kidding you. It was 2 days before we left. He comes up to me, very matter-of-fact guy. He said, Pastor Marty, you're not going to believe this. He said, my wife called me. My daughter and my grandkids are coming to my house Sunday. We're going to have dinner together. And he's crying and he's telling me this. And I'm thinking, thank God. He's going to be a part of my family for a long time. But God, the power of God's Holy Spirit will bind you together with other people. And I know last Thursday when you heard everybody share, you heard some of these things as well. You'll build lasting partnerships. You link arms with people that you never maybe would link arms with. These ladies that came too from Pastor Lou Perez's church, I never knew who they were. They knew who I was. I didn't know them. And, you know, you don't know people. And then when they get up and start sharing their testimonies, my heart, I'm sitting there listening to them. I'm weeping to hear what God has done with them. And when you do things like that, you build these relationships with people that you'll never lose. Number six, I got two more, and I want to pray. You will overcome your fears. And I know when I talk about missions to some people, they say, oh, I'm glad you do that because that's not me. Really? I think if you read your Bible and mine, the Bible says that we're all to go into the world and preach the gospel. Not just some. Every one of us. And I want to encourage you that maybe it's not an international trip, but maybe it's a trip to Los Angeles. Maybe it's a trip like Margaret and Stephen are going to do to Houston, Texas. But I want to encourage you, let God strengthen you. Let him use you. Let him take you out of that place of maybe what you're afraid of. And let him lay his hand on you and let an anointing come through your life that maybe you've never had or never experienced before. You'll see things. One of the services that I was in, I felt the Lord nudge me that there was somebody there that had had something to do with occult practices. And I'm very cautious when I say that. And I made mention to it. And I'm standing there and I'm saying, don't be afraid. And got all done. And this lady brought her daughter up afterwards. Said, I know we didn't come up when you first gave that, but could you pray and begin to tell me some things? That was in Tbilisi. I go to Armenia, and I felt the Lord the same thing. There's like 6 or 7 people that came up and wanted me to pray over them about that. And I'm going to tell you, that's just not for me. God will use whosoever will when you step out and you begin to let God use you on that. And then lastly, when you go, you expand the kingdom of the Lord. The Great Commission is not a suggestion. Christ's kingdom cannot be built without bold, radical obedience to him. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore into all the world. Preach the gospel. Some of you, you're called to it. God's laid something on your heart. Maybe it's not this year. Maybe it's not in the next 18 months. But I want to sow into you tonight for you to consider what God would have you do in the future. And maybe right now you're not able to go, but maybe you could help somebody else to go. In fact, Margaret, do you have all your needs met about going? Yeah, pretty much. Okay. I want you to come down here, Margaret. I just want some ladies to come down here, and let's pray over Margaret tonight. Let's believe God for something great in her life. And let's pray for Amy, and we'll pray for Steve together tonight as well. Just lay your hands on her. Just begin to pray for these ladies. Let's all begin to pray together for them as they go tonight. When you're praying tonight, I want to just take about 7 or maybe 10 minutes. I want to pray for Texas as a whole. I want to pray for things that have happened in Florida. I want to pray for the Caribbean, the hurt and the pain that's happened there. Pray for Mexico. Also, there's, and you don't hear it at all on the news, wildfires that are happening in all over the country, in the western U.S. and some southwest as well. So let's just take a few minutes. Let's do that before we leave tonight together, okay? Thank you, Lord God.